Josie? Warren? Warren?
He'll be here in a minute. He'll let you know when he gets here.
Brenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Bailey? Bailey? Paul?
Paul is here.
Jim?
Here.
Chris?
Here.
Warren?
He's on his way. I'll let him sign in when he gets here.
Sam, Samantha?
Here.
Tom?
Here.
We have a phone.
Okay, thank you.
Excuse me.
Hello, David. Here.
I'm here.
Bailey said she was sorry she was here. Who is that?
Lizzie.
Bailey, are you here?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, and Josie, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so King Cole office.
We have Brenda, me, and Chris, and Seward. And we'll let you know when Warren gets here.
Thank you. Cole Bay.
This is just Daly myself.
Thank you. Nelson Lagoon.
Just me, Sam.
Thanks, Sam. Paul Spatz.
Tom.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks. Sam Wayne. We have Jim, Paul, Alvin, Beverly. Actan.
Hello, it's just myself, Josie.
Thanks, Josie. Anchorage office.
Yes, Mayor Ostrak, there's myself, Annie. We've got Glenora, Talia, Ernie, Charlotte, and Laura from the staff. And then we have Ingrid Cumberledge and Brian Wilson with us as well.
Okay, thank you. All right. We have a quorum. We need a motion to...
Okay, Elvin Warren here. I made it in the door here. Sorry.
Okay, thanks, Warren. Okay, so we are down to, we need to adopt the agenda. Need a motion?
Move to adopt, Warren.
Thank you, Warren.
A second.
Was there anything that we had to amend? I know Daly said something, Annie, or was that, we just make that amendment when that thing comes up?
Just when the resolutions come up, Chris.
Okay, all right, thank you. Sorry about that, I just was making sure.
Okay, so the agenda is on the floor, so we will have some changes, but they will be done during time of the resolutions. So if there's no discussion, and if there's no objections, the agenda will stand as written. Hearing none. Do we have any public comments at this time on the agenda? Hearing none. Conflict of interest. Does any assembly member feel they may have a conflict of interest with any agenda item? Hearing none. Okay, we're going to have a presentation. It'll be led by Ingrid Cumberledge, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Persons Public Safety Presentation. And Ingrid, if you would, I would like it to be limited to 15 minutes, if you could do that. And the floor is yours.
Of course, we will do that, Mr. Mayor. Again, you all know me. I'm Ingrid Cumberledge from Standpoint. I'm your Missing and Murdered Indigenous Person Coordinator here in the U.S. Attorney's Office. And I'm going to turn it over to Ryan Wilson to introduce himself and kind of let us know what we're talking about today.
All right. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and the all of y'all for giving us some time here. And I also, just before I get started, I want to thank y'all for sending us Ingrid. She has just been, I said at the AFN convention, but we are just thrilled to have her. She has been a real ball of fire, as my grandmother used to say, and taking us all around the state, and she is truly one of the leaders in the missing and murdered Indigenous persons movement here. She's known around the country for it, and so we really appreciate her work. And what's really great is that she's taken me around the state, and particularly down in the Aleutians. I found out that y'all are just like her. I mean, it really is. And so it's been really great to get to know y'all and participate in this important work. What we want to talk about just briefly today is really two things. One is some of the progress we've made with the MMIP issues, and I want to let Ingrid will talk about that. But then I want to talk about kind of our umbrella project that we have that includes MMIP, but it goes beyond that. And we call that our RAVEN initiative for Rural Alaska Anti-Violence Enforcement Network. And we realized this, I don't know, it was the previous U.S. Attorney, Brian Schroeder, and it's been continued by the current U.S. Attorney, Lane Tucker, is that for many years our district had we hadn't intentionally ignored rural Alaska, but it was things in Anchorage and Fairbanks and Juneau just kind of tended to crowd out a lot of the stuff going on out in y'all's neck of the woods. And so we decided we were going to really try to make some inroads into the rural parts of the state and see what we could do as far as prosecuting crimes in rural Alaska. And what we found is there's really three areas that we could do something about. One is the human trafficking or exploitation of children. There's a lot of sexual exploitation of children and also some exploitation of labor out in rural Alaska. The second area would be domestic violence. And we typically don't have jurisdiction over what I would call your garden variety domestic violence case in rural Alaska, but if the person committing the violence has a felony and they have a firearm, we can prosecute them for possession of a firearm. Also, if they're under a domestic violence restraining order and they have a firearm, we can we have jurisdiction over that case. Otherwise, the more typical case still goes to the state, but we found out there's plenty of those cases out there that we can prosecute. And, of course, the last that you all are really familiar with is the drugs and that are, just seem to be taking over the state. And the way we changed our method of operation in that regard was to tell the different law enforcement agencies, Drug Enforcement Administration, Postal Inspection Service, even the state troopers, is tell them, hey, we understand that in Anchorage or Juneau, we have certain minimum drug quantities we want to prosecute. But we understand out in the villages, a very much smaller amount of drugs can have a much bigger impact in the villages. And so we said, hey, from now on, if you all hear about a bad guy in the villages, we don't care what the amount of drugs are. We want to at least look at that case and see what we can do to prosecute that person. And so I think we've had some good success. As you all know, everybody knows everybody else in these villages. It's really hard to send in the team to do undercover buys because they're not going to do that, be familiar with strangers. And so most of our efforts are in interdiction and in stopping the packages arriving from either the lower 48 or into the villages, either at Anchorage International Airport or even out in the larger villages such as Bethel or Dillingham before it gets sent to the smaller villages, and that's what we're trying to do. So that really has been our focus outside of the MMIP realm, is to prosecute these three areas of crime. And we were pre-COVID, we were also sending in teams to help do some prevention stuff as well, where we would go into schools and have, say, an assistant U.S. attorney, maybe probably a state trooper with us, a drug enforcement agent or a postal inspection person, marshals as well, to talk about, to give presentations about the dangers of drugs, internet safety, those kinds of things. And we had pretty good luck with them. When typically the way we worked is we would go into a school and do a presentation for the school kids sometime during the school day and wait around for school to let out and then have a presentation for the adults that was more mature and oriented for them later on in the day without the kids there. And so one of the things I want to make here is that now with COVID having lifted and the villages opening up again, we would love to start those kind of presentations again all around in your villages. And so we found them to be really effective, and they're, you know, most of these agencies have some pretty good presentations that are actually entertaining and not just, you know, don't do drugs kind of stuff. And so we would love to hear from y'all, and you can coordinate through Ingrid about getting a team out there to the different villages and to talk about these issues with people. And and also you can call Ingrid if you suspect any kind of criminal activity, and she can get you to the right people in our office to see if we have jurisdiction over the cases. You know, you're still going to be using the state troopers, and the state attorneys will be very active for a lot of the crimes that occur in your villages, but we want to make sure that we're not leaving any stone unturned out there as far as federal jurisdiction, because typically we can get longer sentences for people in the feds as opposed to the state. And also, as you know, it's very difficult sometimes to get a jury to convict their cousin or whatever in these villages, whereas if you bring it federally, the juries come from all over the state. So Anchorage, Fairbanks, or Juneau, we will fly people in from all over the state to be on the jury, and you don't have quite the same problems with relationships and things like that. So, did I miss anything?
No, you got it all.
All right, great. Well, and Ingrid will talk about the MMIP stuff, and I saved her to last because she's more articulate and easier to listen to. So.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, Assembly, staff, guests, I just want to tell you, we do this all over the place, and so we're really good at questions. And I know you usually stop and pause, but since we're on the phone, if you've got questions, if you'll just shout those out, we can answer those. And when he talks about bringing us out, we are a little bit of a traveling roadshow, but the benefit to that, I know, Mr. Mayor, that I believe you were there when DEA came out back in 2019. And that's some of what they do, but they also can do presentations to community, they can do presentations to schools, but they're more offering those resources of other places to report and to get support. And with Savannah's Act, our U.S. attorney just created a guidance, and fortunately, when she came on board, she said what was missing, and what was missing, we had done hundreds of hours of consultation with our tribes and communities across the state at that point, and they had given us a lot of recommendations, and she accepted almost all of them. So this U.S. attorney is really interested in doing something in rural Alaska. She'd like to see our public safety stronger. She'd like to see us not be at the top of every public safety issue list. And she'd like to see our response stronger. And that has been mirrored also in all of our partners. So when we travel out, they're asking, can they come out with us? And we like the Aleutians, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
So any questions right now, Brian?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Savannah's Act, is that based on someone who went through something, Savannah?
Yeah, Savannah Graywood was a young Native woman in South Dakota who was pregnant and living next to a neighbor that wanted the baby, and she took it. And Savannah did not make it. The baby did survive.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry to hear that.
No, but that explains, it's a good place to start when we talk about MMIP. MMIP in Alaska is again, at the top of the list as far as states, and for our numbers, we are way too high. And so what we have done in the U.S. Attorney's Office is we've created a working group. I'm not going to go through all the members, but it represents state, federal, tribal municipalities across the state. I've given you the list in the PowerPoint. And those partners often travel with us, too. They certainly are available on Zoom. We don't have any funding for, you know, I mean, we have funding for us, but we don't have funding for all those partners. So they're traveling on their own dime when they come. So sometimes they can, sometimes they can't, depending on the notice. But they're very interested, and they have come out and listened. We've done a lot of listening sessions across the state. And you can see on the map just kind of their representation. We've now done listening sessions in every part of the state of Alaska except for the North Slope, and that's on our agenda. We're going to be doing that. And what we've heard from our communities is, you know, just the stories, and everywhere we go, somebody's going to tell us about somebody that was murdered in their community, in their families, in a neighboring village. And we now have the BIA Missing and Murdered Unit who can help support other law enforcement in looking into that. But we also have seen major changes in the state. We now have two missing and murdered unit officers, one in Fairbanks and one in Soldotna, that cover the state. Our city here in Anchorage has a missing and murdered unit, as do many other police officers. We have a lot of victim services folks that are looking at this issue and supportive. And my job, part of what it came through with Savannah's Act, is I became your federal resource coordinator. So if you don't know who else to go to, whether it's state or tribal or municipal or federal, reach out to me, and I can get you some support with that. And we have had people reach out from the region. You're actually, APIA has hired somebody to look at the data, and they're working with the state clearinghouse to help make sure that we capture all the data. And that data for this region goes back a couple hundred years because you have somebody working on it and whatnot. But some of the things that have happened in the process of all that work and going out and listening, we've now met with a majority of our 229 tribes, which equates to Alaska villages. It's often meeting with community members and schools and shelters, police departments, and whatnot. And the things that we hear are really captured in the lessons that I shared with you. You know, we're hearing that there is cultural stress. I mean, certainly in this region, there's economic stress because, you know, everybody's fearful about what's going on in the streets always. I mean, that's not a new thing. That's something I've listened to my whole life. You know, it just seems really hot right now. You know, and we're hearing that everywhere we go. Boarding schools has been in the news this year. Religious stress from being displaced, from having other religions put on them. Alcohol and substance abuse, like Brian mentioned, domestic violence. And human trafficking, I have to tell you, I really did not believe we would be talking about human trafficking in this job. And we have talked about every single place that we've gone. And our tribal community response plans, all of those villages that were impacted by human trafficking. So we've done a fair amount of training on that. And we actually have assistant U.S. attorneys that come out and train with me and talk about what we can do with that federally. And the benefit, you know, like Brian said, when you take things federally, sometimes if you've got a bad character in town and you can't figure out how to get that person out, that's going federal sometimes is a way to do that. And it usually is tied to the time of those that they can prosecute them with that. But the other thing that we heard from our communities is that we're super resilient. We know how to survive, and we know how to work together. We know how culturally, and we know how to communicate with each other and build on resources. And the borough is a prime example of that because you guys have done that since the borough's been established, you know, maximizing resources out there. And I guess I would like to just support you in doing that in public safety, and I know the U.S. attorney is really committed to supporting however we can support you in public safety, and it's all about building those relationships and collaborating. So we're just passing the 10-minute mark, and I just want to check, are there questions? Okay. So one of the mandates for this position is to create a tribal community response plan. And I know it says tribal community and you guys are municipality, but what that has meant everywhere that we've gone to do it is that we're working with the the local law enforcement. We're working with the local mayors and assemblies and community members. We're working with the tribal councils. It's a combination effort of maximizing those resources. And we really are looking at tribal community, but everybody that has done this so far has also pulled in their regional folks, their nearest communities, and really talked about how they're going to deal with when somebody goes. And the reason it's important to talk about when somebody goes missing, because you and I know we've had people go missing off of boats. We've had people that have been murdered or accidentally something has happened. You know, we have those stories in our communities. But what this does is those first 1 to 3 hours is really, really important. And that first 24 hours is super important. And so having some sort of plan in place and having all those resources, those external resources, both law enforcement and victim services and search and rescue and all of those folks ready to go means that you're going to do something as soon as something happens. You know, it's kind of like when the lights go down at the airport and everybody calls everybody up to go take cars down because there's medevac coming in. We've done that. You know how to do that. This just sets it in place so that it's there then. And it also gives you all those contact numbers to be able to do that. We've now worked with three communities, established tribal community response plans. We're in the planning cycle for several communities down in the southern part of Southeast. We're working with Fairbanks for a larger municipal one that the U.S. Attorney has just approved. And the reason for that is because of the number of Native missing Americans up there, but also as a number of Natives in the community. And also, Unalaska has asked for and received funding to do some work on this, and their schedule is a little bit farther out, but we'll be working with Unalaska to do this as well. In the plan, I didn't give you a ton of information about that, but I wanted to share, you know, you get all the contacts, but it's really about developing those relationships. So that working group of all those partners comes to the table, and they listen. They tell you about their jurisdiction. They give you all the contacts. To give you an example, we had one of our hub communities that worked on this said, hey, we have a lot of people that go missing in Anchorage, and we call up dispatch. And that's as far as we get. We can't get any information. We can't talk to anybody. And APD gave them the list of the desk numbers. You know, so it's that kind of developing those relationships. So you can call somebody and say, hey, we need help, and work with each other on that. And it's resulted in people being found. We've had both of our two bigger communities now call and activate this. And they've found people alive in different cities and in different states. As a result of this work. In the process of doing this, we also, I mentioned Savannah's Act a couple of times, and I wanted to share with you a little bit about Savannah's Act, and we're at that time, but the big thing is that guidance will come out again to you guys. It'll come out probably, I'm suspecting March, we'll be looking at it for revision. And it's an opportunity for you to, again, tell the U.S. Attorney, who has been extremely receptive, this is what we need for public safety. It's focused largely on MMIP, but I'm happy to tell you that there were a lot of changes that were just on public safety.
Right.
And so seriously, take a look at it when you see it come out in your communities, and if you've got comments, make sure that you get them back to us. And I'm always available to you. You have my contact information in the presentation. You have Brian's contact information in the presentation. And if you need more, you want something in your communities, just let us know, and we'll come out and do that. So, Mr. Mayor, I'm going to stop there, and if there are more questions from anybody, I'd be happy to take those, and I know Brian would also.
Okay. Thank you, Ingrid. And Brian, any comments or questions from the Assembly?
Hi, this is Josie. I have a question.
Go ahead.
Hi, Ingrid, and thank you guys for your presentation. Is there a statute of limitations, like how far back you guys go, or is this for, like, current only, or what's that timeline?
No, Josie, the missing and murdered unit with the BIA is looking at cases that are upwards of 80 years old. I know they're aware of cases that are older than that. But again, they don't have any natural jurisdiction in the community, so they are looking at cases that have that they can get through their commission with the Alaska State Troopers or through the department that has it, that they can go in and help and support. A couple of things that are happening also, because the state is looking at them, I know that both of my missing and murdered unit officers in the Alaska State Troopers are looking at cases right now that are 30 years old. And the big things that they're looking at is there any new information? Is there something that we can look at now? Is there DNA available? And now we have new technology with DNA that we can look at. Any of those sorts of things kind of come into play. They need a little information to decide that, hey, yeah, this is one that we really need to look at, but they are looking at a lot of them. So if you have information about something and you just want to ask, give me a call and I'll get you in contact with those people and we can run through it with them or you can run through it with them, whichever you're more comfortable. And they've been pretty open to just talking through the cases.
Okay, so even if something was closed, you know, 50 years ago and somebody wanted, you know, to take a look at it again, just give you guys a call?
Absolutely, give us a call. I do have to say if there is new information or there is information in file that they can look at, and one thing you need to know from the Alaska State Trooper point of view, they digitized in 2014. So any file prior to 2012, they started in 2012 and were active by 2014. So anything prior to that is in a box someplace. So if it's state troopers, that's one of the hazards with them. That doesn't mean that they're not going to look at it, but it does delay it and make it a little bit tougher. And if it's a municipal department, then those departments would have it. But yes, please call, because they'll be honest with you. You know, they'll tell you if it's something that they can take a look at. And all of them have been pretty good about going out to those departments and asking for those files.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Other questions or comments? So, Alvin, just I want to thank our presenters. It's an important topic, and I think it's people are paying attention, I think. And that's, I'm glad we scheduled them on our agenda. Thank you. Okay. Any other comments from the Assembly? Okay. Well, Ingrid, since you're from Sandpoint and you've been in the borough, you know, we don't have any jurisdiction borough-wise as far as law enforcement types. Well, that's left to the individual cities. But a couple of good things out of this is a great presentation. I'm glad that you sent it out to us ahead of time so we got to go through it. Well, one of the things, and I don't know if Brian knows this, but our meetings are aired over a local radio station. And it's also projected into the other communities. So right now, the only community that doesn't hear our assembly meeting is Accutan until they get their tower in and their station up and running. So this is broadcasted throughout the area, which is great for us and for you. Really good information. One thing we can offer, we don't have newspapers. I mean, the only newspaper in this part of the country, I think, is out in Dutch Harbor, but other than that, the borough does, we do have a communications department, and we have sites in the Aleutians East Borough on Facebook, and we've got In the Loop and other things. So if there's information that you feel needs to get out into the communities that would help bring this, keep this up in the limelight, if you will, those things could be given to Laura in our communications department and probably put out on our webpage or our In the Loop. So I think that could be a helpful avenue for you folks. But other than that, since no one has any other comments, I enjoyed the presentation, a lot of good information, and appreciate you and Brian coming and taking the time to do this. Thank you.
Pastor Coon, thank you so much. And again, just put the offer out there. If we can support you in any way in your communities, we'd love to come out and see you and do that. And we'll bring the partners with us if you tell us who you want and what the target is. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, next on our agenda is we need a motion and effectively bring the minutes to December 8th.
This is Chris. I make a motion.
Thank you, Chris.
Mr. Daly, I
second. Josie, I'll second.
Thank you, Daly. Anybody see any problems, corrections, additions to the regular minute meeting? Hearing none. If there's no objections, the minutes will stand as written. Financial report. Annie, I'll turn this over to you. Oh, first, we need a motion and a second to bring the financial report to the floor.
This is Brenda. I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Brenda. We need a second.
Second.
Daily, y'all second. Second, Nicole. Annie, I almost got back for not doing this part.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. Before you is the November 2022 financials. This is 5 years into the fiscal year, or 5 months. Goodness, thanks. Years, 5 months into the fiscal year. The only item I think I'll bring up is the raw fish tax. We are 73.9% into, or received 73.9% of what we anticipated receiving in FY23, which is great. And also that these numbers shown in November are the actual fish tax values that we received in November. So with that, other than that, most of these are tracking on. There's a few changes that will occur later with the ordinance, but if there's any other questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thanks, Annie. Questions for Annie and finances? Paul?
Yes. Hey, Annie, we didn't go over the workshop this at all, I guess, but I did have a couple quick questions on page one. Refresh our memory on interest revenue. But, what that represents.
Okay, so R01201 under interest revenue. Basically, at the end of the month, there is a bank reconciliation that occurs, and during that process, and I wish Jackie was here to expand on this a little bit more, but she's out sick today. But this is the interest revenue for the AMLIP account. And so every month, the amount of interest will be reflected here. So that's a new process that we're doing. So that's the AMLIP interest revenue. If you go further in the budget, there is a line item for permanent fund interest revenue as well, and that's separate.
Okay, then, thank you. And then at the bottom of the page, we're about halfway through the year, I guess, we have 75.74% of our budget. And so it looks like we'll exceed the budget. What's your interpretation of that, just real quick?
Well, I think with the budget amendment, that value will actually probably increase. But no, we are doing really well for the state shared raw fish tax. We had estimated $1.5 million. That came in at $2.24 million, and that's something we receive in October, and we don't really have a good idea of what we're going to get until we get it. So we had to guesstimate, if you will, when we formulated the budget. So that came in higher, but I think we are tracking along very well as of right now. Like I said, this is 5 months into the budget. So I can anticipate we'll at least receive 100% of what we anticipated.
Other questions on the budget? Okay. Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Josie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. And in your packet, you have the investment report for your review. Anybody have any questions on it at this time?
Well, in the past, we used to have two people present a report. This year, we only had one. Is that one person not working at the Lost Permanent Capital anymore?
No, I think the only person available at the last meeting was Blake, so he's the one that attended. But it was a team of them that put the report together.
Okay, it's a little different, that's all. Thank you.
Other comments? Hearing none. We need a motion and a second to bring the consent agenda to the floor.
Move the consent agenda.
Thanks, Paul.
This is Brenda. I'll second it.
Thank you, Brenda. Annie, there's two resolutions, 2331, 2332. You want to comment on these?
Yes, Mayor Ashback, as you mentioned, there's Resolution 2331 supporting the sustainability of community assistance and Resolution 2332 requesting the state of Alaska to increase the base student allocation for public schools. Both of these items are addressing issues in Juneau. The community assistance isn't in the FY24 state budget, so we are requesting that they include legislation for the ability to increase payments to local governments that account for inflation, include additional transfers to compensate local governments for their provision on behalf of the state of basic obligations, reimbursements, or unfunded mandates. So this will be go to our state lobbyist, Mark Hickey, and forwarded from there. And then the other one is Resolution 2332, requesting the state of Alaska to increase the base student allocation for public schools. And in this one, we would be requesting the state of Alaska to increase the base student allocation to offset inflationary impacts by enacting statute to automatically adjust for inflation going forward and return to forward funding for education. So these are two items that we would lobby for in Juneau. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Questions on either one of these resolutions? Hearing none. Question on a motion?
Warren?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Bailey?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, thank you. Well, before us, we have Ordinance 2301. We need a motion to bring Ordinance 2301 to the floor for a public hearing.
I make a motion.
Brenda, so move.
Thank you, Josie. Seconded by Brenda. Annie?
Yes, Mayor, I'll back to Ordinance 2301 amends the operating capital budget for FY23. On May 26, 2022, the borough did pass an ordinance adopting the operating capital budget for FY23. Now that we're partway through the fiscal year, revisions to the budget have been identified. At the December meeting, this ordinance was introduced to the Assembly, and now it's back before for public hearing. Just to go a brief overview of some of the changes on the revenues, we would increase the state share fish raw tax line item from $1.5 million to $2,244,000. This reflects what we actually received from the state in October 2022 for the FY2022 fish business shared tax and the FY22 fish landing shared tax. So that makes the adjustment to show what we actually received in revenue for that. The other ones are for the finance department line item. We would add a rental lease item line item to in the amount of $6,000 to the finance department budget. The borough has entered into a lease with the city of King Cove for office space at the old King Cove school. The monthly lease amount is $750 per month, which needs to be accounted for in the budget. So that would add that line item to cover that expense. The communications department would increase the travel and per diem line item from $6,000 to $10,000. The communications director did travel to all the communities this year with the photographer, videographer, and the cost exceeded what was expected, so that'll account for that change or that increase. And also, under the other department insurance line item, we would increase the insurance line item from $228,000 to $250,000. The FY23 insurance costs were a lot more than we had anticipated, and we need to account for that change. Changes in Fund 01, the general fund. And then we would also make changes to Fund 24, which is bond construction, and Fund 40, which is the permanent fund. It would add $42 to the contract line, labor line item in each department. The borough's bonds and permanent fund monies are managed by APCM. The borough pays a fee to APCM to manage the funds, which is approximately $7,000 per month or $84,000 per year. These are divided between Fund 24 and Fund 40. These expenses have not been included in the budget in the past, but they should be. Therefore, $42,000 will be added to line item or to the Fund 24 and Fund 40 to account for that. Overall, this does show an expected surplus, but the transfer in from the permanent fund will need to be adjusted at year end. Based off these numbers, we will have a deficit of $324,000. And that will be adjusted at the end of the fiscal year. So those are the changes currently in this ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you, Annie. Questions for Annie? Okay. So at this time, we'll make an amendment. Might be more appropriate before the public hearing. I went to public comment on amendments, so I'd offer an amendment, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
And I'd move that we amend a proposed FY23 Aleutian East Borough amending the operating and capital budget for FY23 by increasing AEB, raw fish tax, on the first page from $3,500,000. The proposed change would be at $400,000 to make it $3,900,000. And then 6 pages later, just before the helicopter operations, the last page where it has insurance at the top, to add at the bottom before the total, that same $400,000 for pool room repair.
Okay, that last one goes where?
Under
chapter operations page, amendment page. There's one that says insurance, repairs, bank fees, Eastern Aleutian Tribe. It's under other general fund.
Okay.
And, Mr. Mayor, if someone seconded, I could explain my intent of the motion. That's all.
Thank you. Do we have a second?
Jim, I'll second.
Okay. Go ahead, Paul.
Thank you. In the workshop, we talked about the room repair and how it's going to need some money to really fix it. It's in a pretty sad state of repair. By putting it in this budget, I'm hoping to prompt the administration to move fast in order to get work done this summer, at least a big chunk of the work done when the pool, when the kids are gone. So the pool, hopefully the pool will open up in a month or so. And then be closed for the summer. And this having in the budget, but if the administration can figure out a way to get this.
Could you silence your mic's out there? You're talking over the presenter.
Thank you.
Good, Paul.
And so if we pass the budget now, it's unlikely we'll be able to spend it. However, it shows the intent this year. We're likely to spend it before June 30th. However, we could, hopefully. But by passing it, this amendment, it would clearly show to the administration and the citizens and everybody in the community that we're really serious about getting that fixed the way it should be. We're doing the liner repair and pumps and a bunch of other work now, a total of maybe up to $380,000, depending on another motion later, too. But I did go, as I mentioned in the workshop, I'll just repeat it real briefly. I did go up and look at everything. I spent over an hour going through pretty much everything I could go through and took a lot of pictures. And the most worrisome to me is how the doors have to be locked in order to have the pool function when it fills with water. And we have kids in there. We have locked doors. They can't get out of there if there was some weird emergency that we can't expect to anticipate, perhaps. But anyway, that's the intent of having the motion now. And I believe we have the money, and we don't know how much it's, we have no idea how much it's cost. But if we spent that amount, we'd put a pretty good dent in fixing it, and perhaps it would take a little more, maybe a little less, unknown, later to get it 100%. But maybe this will get us to 80%. Thank you.
Okay. So before we have somebody comments on it, maybe have Annie respond to part of it. And one thing is we need to make sure if we're going to put it in a line item that we're in the proper line item also, because I'm not sure whether we are. So that might be just semantics or whatever to change that. But Annie, you want to speak on this before I turn it over to the assembly?
Yeah, so I do understand that the pool needs additional repairs, and I agree with you. Just to keep in mind that we did receive a deed grant to do some major renovations to the Sandpoint School, and some of what Assemblymember Grunholt is discussing might be covered under that already. We just got the project agreement yesterday and haven't had a chance to review it yet. So we need to go over the scope of work to see if some of that's already covered. The other thing is as part of that deed grant, we will be having Dow or ECI, who's a subconsultant of Dow, will go out with, I believe, 4 people to go do an assessment of the school, and then they can look at what needs to be repaired and probably can give us a better finite idea of the repairs needed and hopefully a cost estimate. Off the top of my head, I don't think that section under the other general fund is the appropriate place to put it. But I, without looking into this more, I don't have a recommendation at this point of where it should go. But it is a maintenance item, so I wouldn't put it there. So I guess that's really all I have at the moment. Thank you.
Annie, do you have the number of the deed grant, the amount of money that's in it?
$2.9 million. Is that the borough's contribution included?
The borough is $1 million.
In addition to that? All right, we're trying to figure this out right now. Just one moment.
Sure.
We're still looking, but...
Okay, so our fund, our portion is $1 million.
Our portion is $1 million, and then the state's giving
$1.9 million.
Okay, so it's $2.9 million total.
And the borough's responsible for $1 million of that, which will come back before the assembly at a later date to appropriate those funds, because we haven't done that yet. But...
Okay, so if the assembly decides to pass this and we put it wherever in the right, probably under maintenance, anyway, in the right line item, and we find that all of the items that Paul's been talking about during the workshop are covered under it, then we could transfer this money into help pay for part of the $1 million borough. It would help. It would pay $400,000 of the $1 million that the borough would be investing. Would that be proper?
Well, I don't think so. So, just to keep in mind, with our budget, anything that's in Fund 01 doesn't carry over to the next fiscal year. So, if you put $400,000 in here for maintenance, it doesn't carry over to the next year. So, basically, you could appropriate it. I guess if we don't spend it, it would just. Be accounted for in the final accounting for the fiscal year budget. So anything in Fund 01 doesn't carry over. Now, Fund 20, how we currently have it set up with the permanent fund earnings and whatnot, that stuff does carry over from year to year.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think on one, my opinion on one part, since we have all our communities and we have representatives in all of them, I think when they do see things that are our responsibility and to them it looks like it's not being done or should be done faster or whatever, I have no problem with the assembly holding the administration's feet to the fire to get this stuff done and make sure that it gets done. So I think this is good practice for the assembly because we're not in the communities very often anymore like we used to be at the beginning of when the borough started. So I think bringing these items before the assembly and the public is a good idea, and it'll help make sure we get this done. And a lot of what Paul brought up, I knew some of the stuff was there, but some of it I didn't, so I'm glad he did this, and it's on the record now. So these are things I think when the Dowell comes out here to do the engineering work that we make sure that this all gets looked at and taken care of, because first and foremost it is our responsibility to take care of the schools and make sure they're a safe environment for the kids to be brought up and taught in. So I think it's a good idea. Other than that, let's see if we get any input from the assembly on the motion.
We have Warren here.
Go ahead, Warren.
If we want to just quit and put a bunch of extra money in there hoping that something will come along where we can spend it, we don't have any problem doing that kind of stuff. But when we put it in the budget to have it done that year, to have a designated spot for that cash we throw in here, and I know that there's always cost overruns, and then we had the plan to get the pool fixed. Well, anyway, with any project, you have unseen items. This is an unseen item that we're fixing now with the heat exchanger. But to go ahead and throw another $400,000 that way, maybe to fix the doors or something, but that comes under when Dowell was out there. So I don't know if we want to have a bunch of extra money sitting there when it could be to fix some other village school parts that they need fixed or projects they have. So I know it's a good idea to have that money sitting there, but then when it comes around time to get something done, we say, oh, yeah, that $400,000 sitting over here when we could actually sometimes it might get lost. Okay, well, we did that with it or something, you know. So we had an unseen thing, so that's something we'll never see. So if we go ahead and keep it itemized like it is, maybe it's that. That's the way I kind of like it.
Okay. Other comments?
Oh, yeah. Annie, you mentioned maintenance. What line item on the budget I'm looking at with the colored ink on it? What are you talking about for maintenance? I was looking through and I didn't find it.
So Fund 20 is not in here, but we do have a deferred maintenance account that's permanent fund earnings set aside for maintenance. And then Fund 41 is also a maintenance department, but per code it's supposed to be at like $100,000, and there's some code requirements for Fund 41. But those are two maintenance items that we have that can be used for schools. We also do have a coal-based terminal maintenance line item as well, but that's specific for the terminal. So there's a deferred maintenance if you look in the financials. So I guess I'm not sure where to put it without looking into it more.
So, Annie, if I ask it another way, if it was left as is, as the amendment says, if it passes that way, there'd be no question you knew what the money was for. Would there be a question you would know what the intent of the money?
I'm not 100% clear on the question, but I mean, I guess it could go there. That's the thing. I'm just not sure if that putting it under other general revenue is necessarily the appropriate spot. But if you put it there, then I definitely know it's for the harbor. I mean, not the harbor, the Sandpoint pool.
And so I would suggest that. I would move it if Annie would suggest the place, but she hasn't been able to do that. So I don't have any suggestion to my second move it to someplace that may or may not be more appropriate. I would warn it's much more than the doors, and I wish you were here to look or the whole assembly was, but it's way more than the doors. It's a whole darn place. Thank you.
And it gets to a lot of, I think, the deed grant covers a lot of that damage that's up there. And a lot of it's just old and rusting and falling apart. But if you remember back when we first did this, a lot of this stuff was brought up, the change of whatever, and it took a while to get this deed grant. You know, we didn't have the almost $4 million to go in and do all this stuff. So hopefully it's all going to get done one way or the other here. And I think you should also give all those pictures. Well, you can give them all to Beverly, and she could put them out for the assembly so people do have a good idea and take a look at this and make sure that we're getting this done, because this has to be done. And
Mr. Mayor, if I'm a final comment, yeah, the reason I'm suggesting the amendment now is I don't see a better way to try to get it done this summer, because otherwise we're in jeopardy of not having a pool again next year. It benefits all the kids in the borough and residents. It's the only pool we have. Thank you.
The only pool in the whole borough. Okay. Other comment?
This is Jim. So the intent for all of us to make sure the scope of work is all the damage that he's seen, but and the money's already set there, so if we didn't move it now, we could still move it at a later date, or summer, or the end of the year, correct?
main things when the borough got formed was the borough took the school district. You know, so we own everything. So it's like our number one priority is to keep the school district whole and keep all of our buildings and everything up to standard. So there's money in there that we can always access to do this. And one of the main reasons, like for our permanent fund, is to basically make sure that our school district is good and to pay off our bonds. So there's ways to get at money to do these type of things. And it's not like if you put $400,000 in here now, well, that'll just take care of all this. I have no idea how much money it's going to take to do all the stuff that's needed in there. It'll be part of it. What we're looking at doing is once we get the engineers out here and they go through and finalize and figure out everything that's got to be done under this total of $3.9 million, then we'll put it out to contract and bring it in. So that's one way to look at it. The other way is let's try and fix up whatever we can fix up temporarily in there and spend a bunch more money, and then they come in and tear it all out. I don't know because we're not engineers. We don't know exactly what needs to be fixed or how, but like Paul said, he spent a day up there looking at all this stuff, and yes, we do need things fixed. And a lot of it's already been identified. But either way, you can put the money where Paul wants to put it for now, and we can always move it, I suppose, at a later date through the Assembly's wishes if we need to. But the work is going to get done. I don't know if that answered your question or not.
Yeah. I guess.
Warren here again.
Good work.
Say, oh, okay, now, I like Paul's idea of getting this done where the money be sitting there and not have to be reappropriated by another meeting or whatever. But maybe you want a little more than that $400,000. Maybe you want $500,000 just so we know we got our bases covered in case we need some new pumps or piping or I don't know what the extent of the, I can't remember what the extent of the repairs were done on the pool now, except for now we need the heat exchanger, and that was going to cost, what, $100,000 or something. So I just hope that $400,000 will cover it, you know, if it comes down to when they finally dig into that heat exchanger and find other parts that they need, that they don't run out of money. I think that would be appropriate there. I don't know, maybe, Paul, your ideas sounding better all the time.
So do you want to make a friendly amendment with the consent of the second? Make it $500,000?
Well,
it sounds like
if a second would concur, I wouldn't have any problem because we're probably going to end up transferring the money later as we get more information from it. And if this passes, and then we can transfer it at any time or have them. And then we have one more final budget reading at the end of the summer, as well as new budget. So,
yeah. So we did like $500,000, and that'll give us a little wiggle room to where that when the engineers get out there and they say, oh, man, look at this, is $700,000, or it's a little bit under $500,000, then your base is already covered. So we could actually get the pool fixed right, and we know the money's there instead of having to, like, pull money at the permanent fund or something.
And, Warren, just when I was looking at the budget, the first tax revenue is doing better than I thought it would be doing, so I think you're correct in that assuming $500,000 would be, you'd be more comfortable with, and if Jimmy doesn't have any problem, I'll make it a friendly amendment.
Yeah, but he said $700,000,
that's the guess. Oh, yes. Well, what number did you think you were comfortable with, Warren?
No, I would... Alvin, what did you say? $700,000? Man, this is going up all the time.
So you said that.
No, I said $500,000. Yeah, no, we could. Well, I could make the friendly amendment if we want to do 500,000, and then Paul wouldn't have to.
Maker of motion makes a friendly amendment, I believe. Or how do you roll?
Well,
that?
Yeah, I mean, if you get consent from your second, you could change. Just do that.
That way, Paul leading, or go with your original amount, and you can add to it later.
What was your question? Either a friendly amendment or Warren could make a real amendment to the amendment. I think there's one amendment allowed.
Yeah.
Make a choice, Jim.
Or you could just vote on it, because the original motion is for 400,000. Warren wants to make a friendly amendment to raise it to 500,000. So we're not ready to vote on the original motion yet, so we could vote on whether or not to raise it to 500,000 if you do a friendly amendment.
Well, I would have to
a friendly amendment on my motion instead of 400, make those two amounts 500. Your second concur with it. That's all we have.
I'll second.
Okay. So
the motion reads 500,000. If there's no objection to the friendly amendment. Hearing. Okay, so now the motion stands that it's original wording, but the 400,000 is removed and 500,000 is put in place. So that's what's before you.
This is Annie. Can I ask for a clarification? Is that for the raw fish tax increase to 500,000 and the other item to 500,000? Both?
Yeah, they both would have to. Balance your budget, Mr. Mayor. I believe they both would have to change to keep the budget the same, balanced as you presented it to us.
Can you do that? Okay. Any more comments on the motion?
Okay, one more comment from Warren here. I just wanted to kind of reiterate that we're working for our young folks here and our children and our schools, and I know that swimming is very important to our lifestyle out here, working on the water. So that'll be all I have. Thanks.
Thank you, Warren. Other comments? Okay.
This should be the motion on the amendment.
No, well, the main motion, can you read the main motion again?
Well, we're just voting on the amendment now.
On the amendment?
Yeah.
Yes. And then the main motion will go after that.
Okay. Can you read what we're voting on so everybody understands?
I don't have the full, but it is Paul moved to amend the proposed ordinance 2301 by increasing the raw fish tax by 500,000, making it to a total of, I don't have the exact number, but increasing the raw fish tax by 500,000, additional 500,000, right?
Yes, and the expenditure is the same amount.
Right. Okay. So Assembly, that's what you'll be voting on, is the amendment with the increase to 500,000
under
raw fish tax and money that would be put into whatever line item you figured out. Okay? Go ahead and call a question on that part.
Jim?
Yes.
Davey?
Yes. I had it on me. Sorry.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Faith?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So now, before us, we've got the amended main motion. So,
public hearing.
So now we'll go into the public hearing. Okay, so are there any comments from the public on Ordinance 2301, amending the operating and capital budget for FY23? Hearing none. Public hearing is closed. Call a question on the main motion.
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we have, under ordinances, we don't have any resolutions. We have three. So, Resolution 2333, supporting the current Alaska Peninsula Salmon Management Plan and opposing certain proposals before the Board of Fish. Ernie, you want to take this one?
Okay. I was on mute. Apologize. If it's okay with you, I was just going to read through the resolution to start with.
That's fine.
Okay. So you just read the title of the resolution, and it goes, whereas the Aleutians East Borough is the municipal government whose boundaries include the Alaska Department of Fish and Game Salmon Management Area M, and whereas the fishing communities of the Aleutians East Borough were founded on the local salmon fisheries, and whereas commercial salmon fishing and processing has been active in the region for over 100 years, and the local Aleut people have subsisted on the salmon for thousands of years, and whereas Aleutians East Borough revenue from taxes on salmon delivered to our shore plants is significant, and whereas Area M salmon fishermen will be defending their fisheries and livelihoods at the February 2023 Board of Fisheries, Alaska Peninsula, Aleutian Islands, Chignik Finfish Meeting in Anchorage. And whereas there are a number of proposals to be considered at the February meeting that would needlessly constrict South Alaska Peninsula salmon fisheries. And whereas South Alaska Peninsula salmon fishermen have been working tirelessly to address other regions' salmon concerns, to limit harvest of Chignik-bound sockeye salmon, and to limit harvest of AYK-bound chum salmon, sharing in the burden of conservation for those struggling stocks, a sacrifice that results in lost revenue for these fishermen. And whereas previous action by the Board of Fish and by Area M fishermen have resulted in improvements in Chignik sockeye salmon escapement and commercial fisheries, and whereas Area M same gear fishermen working together to avoid chum salmon during the June 2022 fishery resulted in the lowest June chum to sockeye salmon ratio in decades, noting that the majority of these chum are Asian chum, not AYK bound. And whereas it is important to maintain the current South Alaska Peninsula Salmon Management Plan in order for these fishermen conservation efforts to continue to be successful, and whereas these proposals would enact restrictive conditions, including reduced fishing times in areas that would hamper South Alaska Peninsula salmon fishermen conservation measures, proposals 133, 134, 135, 136, 137, 138, 139, 140, 143, 148, 149, and 150. And whereas restricting the South Alaska Peninsula salmon fisheries will result in economic distress for families, businesses, and communities in the Aleutians East Borough. Now, therefore, being resolved, the Aleutians East Borough Assembly supports the conciliatory efforts by ARIAM fishermen sharing in the burden of conservation of Alaska salmon that have yielded impressive results. And be it further resolved, the Aleutians East Borough Assembly supports the current South Alaska Peninsula Salmon Management Plan that will allow the time and area for fishermen to continue these conservation efforts and feed their families. And be it further resolved, the Aleutians East Borough opposes the following Board of Fisheries 2022-2023 cycle proposals that would needlessly limit the South Alaska Peninsula fishermen conservation efforts and opportunities to make a living, and it lists those proposals again, passed and approved, etc. That's the resolution. There is a memo that goes along with it, gives background information. If the Assembly had any amendments, you could certainly entertain those. It would be my... So the comment deadline for the February meeting is February 3rd. It would be my intent that this goes to, if passed, to the Board of Fish with a letter accompanying it, probably signed by the mayor, with some of the background information that is contained in the memo and probably some other information. So that's all I have at this moment. Questions, please.
Okay, thank you. Before we go to questions, as Ernie went through and read the whole resolution, now we need a motion and a second trailer.
Oops, sorry.
Yeah, move the resolution 2333. Right. We need a second.
Second, Ward.
Okay, thank you, Ward. And no, Ernie, it's not your fault. That was me.
I can read it again if you want to.
For question of Ernie. Ernie, the last meeting, the Board of Fish, everything went through a committee of the whole. Be interesting to see if they keep that up for all their meetings now. Do you think they will?
That's what they've been doing. Committee of the whole is now standard procedure. I mean, in the past, they used to separate people out, and you'd want to be in one committee, and you'd miss something else. Yeah, it's all committee of the whole now. Correct, Paul.
Thank you. Other comments from assembly members on resolution 2333? You know, Ernie, with all your whereas is in there, and I'm going to have to read this thing in front of the floor. I hope this is 2 minutes or less.
Well, you could just reference whatever RC number it is or PC number. You could do that.
Okay. Okay, questions from the assembly. Any? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Samantha?
Abstain.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, before us, we have resolution 2334. We need a motion and a second to bring this to the floor.
Brenda, so
I'll make a motion.
Thank you, Brenda. Seconded by Josie.
Bailey, I'll second.
Annie. Okay.
Okay. Sorry. Let me find the resolution. Okay. Resolution 2334 of the Aleutians East Borough Assembly selects and promotes FY 2024 capital projects for the health, safety, and welfare of its residents. Every year we do put a list together of legislative priorities for the Assembly to consider. Boroughs staff have reviewed the borough projects and have had conversations with Mayor Osterbeck and our state lobbyist, Mark Hickey, in regards to the projects listed below. Borough staff recommends that the Cold Bay Dock Design and Permitting Project be listed as the borough legislative priority for FY 2024 capital project funding. And staff also recommends that King Cove Access Project, the Acoon Dock and Breakwater Project, and the False Pass Airport Project be listed as a borough legislative priorities, or as the priorities for FY 2024, with no specific funding requests at this time. For the Cold Bay Dock design and permitting, currently we are doing a feasibility study. I haven't gotten that yet, but when I do, it'll have some very basic conceptual level designs, but it will also have a rough order of magnitude for cost for the project in design and construction, including design and construction. With this, the design and permitting costs we are anticipating will be approximately $2.5 million. However, we're still working, like I said, to get a better cost estimate, but and then the borough currently has $83,000 secured for the Cold Bay Dock project, and we'd recommend rounding that up to $100,000, which would request $2.4 million from the state. The other projects on the list are for state support, of course, continued support for the King Cove Access Project, which the state has been very heavily involved with, also the Acoon Dock Breakwater Project. Right now we are working with the Army Corps of Engineers on it through a tribal partnership program agreement to conduct a feasibility study for that project, and we'd like the state's continued support on that. And then the False Pass Airport Project, which in October of 2022, a project to do some rehabilitation or renovations to the airport was presented. We scored very well. We're still waiting on a spending plan, but we want to make sure that the state continues to move that project forward and to continue to look at engineering options to lengthen the runway. So the next plan, if this is approved, we'll submit a CAPSIS request for funding for the Cold Bay Dock design and permitting. And one item I would request, if an assembly member could make a amendment to this, to include and permitting to number one on the resolution, because I failed to put it in there. Thank you.
Resolution.
Well, the resolution's on the floor.
Oh, sorry, I'm trying to.
Yeah.
She just needs
a... I was reading it. I know. Mr. Mayor, during the workshop, Chris was talking about the amendment. I have a written version in front of me. If you don't have one, Chris, I could read the amendment.
Go ahead, Paul.
Yeah, thank you. And the amendment to resolution 2334 is to add an amendment with the word permitting, which would go against health, safety, permitting, and welfare. We're, I guess, open to.
So, Mayor Osterbeck, if it could go under projects requesting state funding and support, it should be Cold Bay Dock Design and Permitting. So, it
okay, under number one, under projects requesting state funding support, the amendment would be Cold Bay Dock Design and Permitting. All right, so, second. You need a second? Yes, this is Jim, I'll second.
Okay, with the condition. So, Annie, now that you have that in there, would you reread it the way it's going to be amended, if they agree to it?
Yeah, so the change would say, under projects requesting state funding support, number one, Cold Bay Dock Design and Permitting.
Okay.
I guess, under Ghost of Christmas Past, when we talked about the coal bay design of the dock, the coal bay dock design, one of the options we always talked about was kind of lift the top off, use sheet pile and or rocks, which you don't need a core permit to add rocks to the middle of the dock, apparently. But to me, I think we should continue to look at that, because that would make a much safer dock to tie up if we could incorporate that into our new design. And I just thought everybody probably remembers that. But
Annie just talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and I agree with you. So, and I think that should be one of the design options. And, of course, a lot of it's going to come down to cost in the end. But, yeah, it makes much more sense to me. And I think Annie, when we had our discussion, she agreed with it, too. So that's right up front, I think, with all of us on that. Any comments on the amendment?
I'll wait till we get to the main motion.
Okay. So, you want to call a question on the amendment?
Paul?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes, ma'am.
Haley?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Bob?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have Resolution 2334 in its amended form. Any comments from the Assembly on the...
I just had a question. Tom was on there, and a couple of weeks ago, we had big tides on Christmas, and we're going to have on the 20th of January, the tides are going to be just as big again. But I didn't know, was there any damage to, like, the airport in False Pass or any... You know, there's a little damage here, example, I knocked too much, but the tide was really high, and I think Inkova was too, but I haven't heard anything about False Pass. Did you have anything happen over there, Tom?
Yeah, we about the third of the south end of the runway was underwater here during that northeast we had a couple weeks ago.
Okay, well, put on your boots, because we have another week to be back, maybe.
Reason we need another float plane. Okay. Okay, so before us we have the main motion as amended. So if there's no comment on that, hearing none, question on the main motion.
Daly?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, thank you. So before us, we have Resolution 2335, which authorizing the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Evolution Pool and Spas Incorporated to perform additional maintenance on the Sandpoint Pool in an amount not to exceed $100,000 and to appropriate a portion of the borough's local assistance and tribal consistency funds to pay for this maintenance project. Reading a motion on the second to bring it on the floor.
I'll make a second, and then I think Annie said there was a typo, which was, I think the maker of the motion intended to include that to the 380 instead of 280, under wherefore be it resolved, or just a typo there.
No, so to clarify, it needs to actually say 100,000.
Well, okay. So that's more of a typo.
Yes, Mayor Osterbeck and somebody. So, correct. Resolution 2335 is regarding the pool. Currently, we have Evolution Pools under contract. At the July 14th, 2022 meeting, the Assembly authorized the mayor to negotiate and execute a contract in an amount not to exceed $280,030. We entered into a contract with Evolution Pools for $250,024, and then there was a small contingency fund to cover unanticipated expenses. When the contractor was on site, it was determined that the original heat exchanger was undersized and was cracked and leaking and that it needed to be replaced. We received a preliminary quote in an amount of approximately $100,000 from Evolution Pools for the heat exchanger purchase and installation. They are in the process of fine-tuning that now, and we are requesting, or administration is requesting, an additional $100,000 to complete this project. Administration recommends using a portion of the local assistance and tribal consistency funds, which is LATCF, to pay for this project. At the November 10th Assembly meeting, the Assembly approved Resolution 2323, which approved allocating the money for maintenance projects, grant match requirements, or to pay for a second portion of the second 10% owed to the Army Corps for the Actan Harbor project. It was agreed that prior to expending any LATCF funds, Assembly approval is needed. Therefore, administration is requesting the Assembly to appropriate a portion of the LATCF funds for this project. What I was requesting in the resolution is it should read, not in, under the first now, therefore be it resolved, it should read not to exceed 100,000. So the overall project cost will be about you'll authorize 380,000, but in particular I'm just looking for an additional maintenance on the Sand Point School in an amount not to exceed 100,000. I just hadn't corrected that.
Okay. Does that clarify? Do we need an amendment to?
Yes. Amendment would be great, please.
Okay. I didn't hear all of what Annie said, or I'd make a motion to amend it. Annie, could you repeat a suggested amendment?
Yeah, I'd amend the first now, therefore be it resolved to read, instead of an amount not to exceed $280,030, it should read in an amount not to exceed $100,000.
Okay, I'd make that amendment. Second, Quirk?
Second, Warren.
Okay, thank you. So we have an amendment on the floor to replace the $280,030, remove that, and install $100,000 in its place, basically. Any discussion or anything on it? Hearing none, question on the amendment?
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. So now the resolution 2335 under the now therefore be it resolved, the ending of it has changed to additional maintenance on the Sand Point School in the amount not to exceed $100,000. With that, is there any discussion on the resolution? Hearing none. Question on the main motion.
Jim?
Yes.
Bailey?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. We have nothing under old business. New business, we have one item, assembly per diem discussion.
To get on the form, Mr. Mayor, I would move that this, I'll take a stab at it, okay? I would move that the assembly approves a flat rate per diem increase from the existing $200 per day to $374.
Okay. Can we get a second?
I'll second that, Chris.
Okay. Thank you, Chris.
During the workshop, Randy laid out that nice memo explaining, and we spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to deal with expensive hotels and Anchorage and other places, and some of these things get pretty complicated. I perhaps like the idea of a simple daily rate for per diem. Just makes life easier to calculate and deal with. Thank you.
Patty, since you put the memo together, and we did spend a lot of time in the workshop going over this, so with the motion on the floor, before I open it up to the assembly, do you have any comments?
I guess I do have a few. During the break, I was able to talk to Jackie briefly, who's homesick. She can't come in today. I did send Beverly some information regarding per diem and the IRS tax requirements. So something that I would recommend going over with the increase of this rate, and also one of the other requirements, if I'm correct, and I wish she was able to come in to speak on this because she's way more in tune with the tax requirements than I am. Basically, if there's no expense report filed, that can trigger a taxable rate. And then if you are over the DOD rate and there's an excess in that, that triggers it too. So just to keep that in mind, that could be a requirement, and there's things that we can do to assist with, like, reports and stuff. But she's way more knowledgeable in this than I am, and I don't know if it would be possible to postpone the decision until next meeting, which is February 9th, which is before the travel occurs, and then she would be here to help explain this further, because like I said, I'm not an expert in this field at all. But that being said, I guess everything else is laid out in the memo already. So if there's any questions, let me know. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Annie. And I think during the long discussion that we had during the workshop, the majority of the assembly seemed to agree with the motion that's on the floor. And that rate basically is set. Department of Defense rate for the municipality of Anchorage, where most of our travel leads to. So it possibly would be higher in some of our communities, which travel is very limited to. But anyway, with that, family members have any comments?
Yes, sir, can I add one more thing? Just to clarify, so if the finance department does have to follow IRS rules and regulations. So like I said, if it does trigger considered like I said, it could trigger the 1099 form, so I just want everybody to be aware that that will be different than what's currently happening. So just want to let you know. Okay.
All right. So if this, our next meeting is prior to everyone leaving, so we could entertain a motion to table if the assembly feels like they need more.
Mayor, I don't know if anybody's traveling between now and then, but probably not. But one other thing that in some communities, when they just reimburse hotels, not our community, but other communities, when they reimburse hotels and expensive, there's a tendency to stay at the Waldorf Astoria because you're going to get reimbursed anyway. And so I believe this would save the borough money, potentially save the borough money, because some hotels, well, we don't have a Waldorf Astoria, maybe King Cove,
there you go.
Sandpoint doesn't, but anyway, I just thought I'd mention that too. Thank you.
Okay. Does anybody else have comments on this?
Just call me, Walter.
I really support this because that's what I found out is it's very, we can't be paying money to be on the borough assembly. I mean, that's not conducive to when you're having to spend money out of your own pocket. I know when you guys, like, come out here, it's a lot cheaper. You know, and it's different, like, when some of the people who are on the board travel, and then the Anchorage office comes out to our communities. We do what we can to make them feel supported and that they have all their needs met while they're here. Everybody tries to make sure that we help everyone. But this has been a long time coming. I think we've talked about it a few times already, and we're always going to investigate it and talk about it later again, and it never came back around. So I'm in support of this. I think it's a way that's an incentive for people to realize, you know, you won't be spending your money to go on this conference, wherever it might be.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, and remember, I mean, it's a resolution, and if it passes, and they find out at some point in the future we need to change it, we can. Other comments? Okay. We have the motion before us. Question on the motion.
Josie?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Jim?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Tom? Bob?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we are getting down there. So, reports and updates. Annie, do you want to leave this off or do you want to take a rest?
If it's okay, could Charlotte go? She has to be somewhere at like 5:30, and if she could go first, that'd be great. And then I'll
I know because she's a kelp queen, so she's special.
No.
Mr. Mayor, can she do it in 2 minutes?
Go ahead, Charlotte.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. I guess I'll keep my report brief. I was out of the office quite a bit for holidays, and then I was out of the country for a couple weeks, so I don't have too much on my report. Just to talk about EM, I'm still working on an annual report and a presentation that I'll be giving next week at the Trawl EM committee meeting. I have been working on some documentation for a preseason meeting for the fleet, but That kind of depends on what happens in the A season, which we won't know for a little bit. I also completed the annual financial report as well as the interim programmatic report for NIFWIF. As I mentioned last time, NIFWIF has officially awarded us another grant for $474,000 for the final year of the EFP. The Fixed Care Project, I met with the Alaska Fisheries Science Center a couple weeks ago, and we have discussed the next steps for this project. We've reviewed the draft sampling designs, and we're working on outreach to the fleet for the volunteer vessels, and that includes just going over the objectives, instructions on catch handling, and taking observers. I don't have any updates for mariculture. For Board of Fisheries, we had our first kickoff meeting with Cordata and several members of the Saners Association to work on the portal. We provided a lot of feedback, and I have another meeting with them, everybody together tomorrow, to go through the next iteration of the portal and view it on the phone to see how it looks. I'll also be joining the Area M Saners in camp for a meeting in Kodiak with Fish and Game staff to talk about Board of Fish and the genetic study. And for cod tagging, I met with our co-PI, Suzanne McDermott, with AFSC, and we have a tentative field work plan for March 2023. We did have to modify it, kind of abbreviate it to make sure that we can stay within a possible budget, which I'm hoping to present at the assembly soon. And that's all I have. Not sure if it was 2 minutes, but I tried. I'll take any questions.
Thank you, Charlotte. Questions for Charlotte? Okay. Appreciate it. Annie.
Yes, I asked back in assembly. So in the packet is my report. I'll start with the Sandpoint Harbor Float Project. On December 9th, 2022, Moffitt Nickel did submit the Drinking Water Program Engineering Plan review information to DEC. This application requests approval to construct a new potable water distribution extension on Sandpoint Harbor Float A that will be built. So that's good news. And then on December 16th, Administration, Moffitt Nickel attended our first real MARAD kickoff call with all the players, the project manager, and all the entities that do different facets of the project, from environmental to engineering to civil, et cetera. And we kind of went over all the grant requirements that were discussed, which included completing an engineering register, construction schedule, the environmental requirements, which are quite extensive, and then the Buy America Act, et cetera. So that project's starting to move along, and I'll have more information for you here in the future regarding next steps. King Cove Road update. As you know, the I think we mentioned at the last meeting that they had the in-bank hearing, and we're still waiting on additional information regarding that. I did include a bunch of attachments from the attorney that included the Ninth Circuit panel information with all the judges, the Department of Justice's response to Friends of Alaska National Wild Refuges, the State of Alaska's response, and then there's a letter from Senator Murkowski that was sent to Secretary Holland about this project. So we are already on the ninth-year anniversary, which was December 23rd, of when Secretary of Interior Jewell rejected the congressional-approved land exchange and roads. So 9 years has gone by really fast, and here we are still fighting the fight. So with that, that's the brief update on that. There's a bunch of other projects. I won't go into too much detail. We've already talked about the pool. We did approve a Sandpoint HVAC system upgrade that has to occur because the current system is extremely outdated, can't be updated any longer, so signed an agreement with Long to provide and install a new controller for that school in the amount of $34,000. And then there are some fire sprinkler and boiler inspections that are occurring here in January to go out there. And I think the biggest one is the strategic planning session, which was scheduled for tomorrow. Has been moved to February 17th. I think all of you have been contacted by Beverly or Glenora to get reservations made. This will be done in person. There isn't a virtual option at this point in time, but it's been moved to February 17th, and we really do look forward to seeing everybody there to participate that can come. And at the bottom, I just included some photos that I had of Sandpoint, Cold Bay, and King Cove when the water was really high, just to share those photos with you. So that storm was intense, and it's a little concerning to hear that another one will come around on the 20th of this month. And then a last, at the very end of my report, is a document from our federal lobbyists that do go through a bunch of things at the federal level, from what's occurring at the 118th Congress to future options for earmarks, which are coming up soon. And then there's also some Denali Commission money that is mentioned in here that could possibly be used for the Cold Bay Dock project as well. So anyway, there's a lot of good information in there. If you haven't already read it, it's worth a read. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thanks, Annie. Questions for Annie?
Hi, Mr. Mayor. This is Josie. I have a question.
Oh. Go ahead, Josie.
Oh, I was just wondering why the strategic planning one-day meeting cannot be offered virtually.
Logistically, it's not really set up for that at the NAVE where we're going to have it at, and I can ask PGS if it's possible, but we haven't done that in the past. So I don't know how it would work. It'd be kind of difficult because a lot of it's interactive, so it'd be a little difficult. But I can talk to them. So.
Thank you.
Yeah. Josie, I don't know how that would work because basically almost all of it is interactive. We did it the other year, but we did the whole thing virtual. So everybody was on their computer doing what they needed to do. But this is going to be back to the way we normally do it, where everybody's together and working in groups and what have you. I don't know how that would work. But I guess we could check on it for you. Other questions for Annie? Okay. Thank you, Annie. Talia?
Good afternoon, Mayor and Assembly. My report is in the packet. We've spoken in depth about the Sandpoint pool, so I don't have too much to add. I will note that Annie and I did meet with Dow today and the CEO of Evolution Pools, and we will be meeting with them every single week. We're staying on top of this project. We understand how imperative it is to the community and to the kids at the school. Evolution Pools does anticipate being back on site to return back to work on January 16th, and I will continue, Annie and I will continue to keep you guys updated on that. As far as the bridge inspection report, on September 2022, the state of Alaska did conduct its bridge inspection reports. On December 28th, the borough did receive them in both digital and physical copies. We will be reviewing it and going over how to make arrangements for the repairs. ISO tank inspections. Back in March of 2022, the borough was notified by Mattson that our tank inspection was due. This is required every 2 years. Just to be clear, this is the tank over in Accutane that holds the helicopter fuel. We did have a tank inspection completed by a company called Applied Technical Services. The inspection that they did was incredibly thorough. It was accepted by Mattson at the time. I was recently contacted by them 2 weeks ago saying that they were no longer accepted because it does not have the terminology that they are looking for. I've been in contact with Asset Management Group with Mattson, and I did get an email today stating that they would accept it. Our next inspection is not due until October of 2024. However, we do plan on finding a new inspection company as well as looking into purchasing a new ISO tank, as the one that we currently have is outdated and it does need to be replaced. I have reached out to Mattson asking for a list of companies that they suggest or recommend. They don't have such a list. So definitely we'll be doing a lot of research to make sure that this problem does not continue in the future. As far as maintenance connection, Jack Walsh did fly in yesterday from Juneau to meet with Annie and I, along with Dow and CERC, to talk about capital improvement projects, maintenance, and we're really trying to make an effort to be on the same exact page. We also discussed creating access for Dow and ECI to look over maintenance connection. We did receive the project agreement. I know that, Paul, you brought up the locks at the door. This is something that we did include in the capital improvement project. We have money, looks like, allocated from DEED. So, like I said, we are doing our best to stay on top of the projects and minimize all the confusion. Last but not least, I ended off with all the meetings that I've attended since the last assembly meeting. If anyone has any questions, let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Talia. Questions for Talia? Paul?
Yeah, thank you. Talia, I don't know if you remember, but when you left town, Sandpoint, at the Raven Terminal, the entrance doors have been changed to stainless steel. And because that pool is a saltwater environment, they just pour the bags in. I didn't know how they did that, but they just open them up and dump them in there. But it's steel doors don't have a chance. And so whenever the opportunity arises, you mentioned in your report taking two or three doors off and putting them back, perhaps there's it's a standard size and the closures don't work. You need to have those strong closures because of the pressurization. And so you don't have to lock the door. But hopefully they're a standard door, but the stainless version would be great. Thank you.
How about fiberglass?
Thank you, Paul.
Or probably not fire, Eagle. Probably not fire rating. Okay. Other comments for Talia? Okay. Talia, I'm glad you guys are going to stay on top of this pool project because there's talk out here of tar and feathers, and I don't like that. Anyway, people want to see that pool back open.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
Yeah. Laura.
Thank you, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly members. My report is in the packet for your review. One of the projects that I'm working on and continuing to work on is the white paper for the Coon Dock and Water Project. I'm currently working on version 4 of that. I turned in version 3 at the end of last month, and Annie provided some edits and other helpful information within a few days, so she was very quick on that. The information in this document will be coming from assembly reports, agenda statements, resolutions, helicopter agreements, EAS agreements, and strategic initiatives. I've made a few corrections, and I'm currently checking the facts on a couple of items, and I'm also reviewing past conceptual vessel studies for this project. I think it's from 2009 or so. So the next version will be completed soon, and I think it's getting pretty close. So that's good. Another thing I wanted to mention is about the professional photography project. The photographer for that, Carrie Tasker, recently, just this past Monday, dropped off a hard drive of those high-res images and videos. And initially I thought that they could go on the shared drive, but after checking into it more, it's about 374 gigs total, which is a tremendous amount, and I asked ICE about putting that on the shared drive so that when staff need something, photos, videos, whatever, they can easily retrieve it themselves. But that would take up, I just found out today, about half the space in our shared drive, so I think we're going to maybe possibly look at other options, such as additional hard drives, because that's a lot of space, but I'll discuss this more with Annie and see what we think about that. So that's exciting that we have a lot of this. And I'd be happy to send out, you know, videos and so forth, images on social media. Just keep in mind, for example, sometimes an individual photo can be 20 megabytes, and our own email system will probably just bounce that back. So I would have to reduce it and go through that. On another note, I'm working on a press release just ahead of time in anticipation of the decision by the recent 11-panel judge en banc hearing that occurred on the King Cove Land Exchange. just to be ready and just have one either way it may go. So just working on that. And speaking of that, I recently sent an archived link of the hearing to Beverly, who forwarded that to the Assembly for any members that may be interested in viewing the proceedings, which occurred on December 13th. So that is in the packet if you are interested in taking a look at that. As far as the media coverage that occurred from that hearing, that included the Associated Press, and that also appeared in the Anchorage Daily News, Alaska Public Media, and ABC News. There were also some articles that were published by Bloomberg Law and E&E News. Those last two have subscription paywalls, so you can only see a couple sentences of it, but just wanted to mention that. The last two Fish newsletters were sent out on December 17th and 21st. The 17th issue, that contained information about the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, that they were taking measured steps to address the chum salmon bycatch, which included a recommendation for the council to review at their April meeting. I'll defer to the Natural Resources Department for any details on that. The newsletter also contained information about how the crab plan team will work on trawl and non-trawl crab bycatch limits and the possibility of considering area closures for groundfish fisheries. Fish News also had a summary of meeting actions that were taken at the Alaska Board of Fisheries November 29th through December 1st, and a flyer was also in there about the AEB Fishermen's Winter Fisheries meeting, which was announced and held towards the end of the month. So thank you to Ernie Weiss for providing all that information. I appreciate that. The December 21st issue shared information from Swansea's Executive Director, Shirley Marquardt, about the Small Business Administration Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. That's quite a mouthful. Related to the Bering Sea and Bristol Bay crab fishery closures. So there's information there on that. So those are some of the highlights of the projects that I'm working on. Please let me know if you have any questions or comments. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Laura. Any questions for Laura? All righty. Ernie.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, again, my report is in the packet. We talked about board issues during the work session under the Resolution 333. But I'll just mention the board meets next week for AYK proposals, but I'll be there to speak to Proposal 170 that would establish a vessel pot limit of 500 pots and an overall cap of 10,000 pots for the North Penn Dungeness fishery, and I'll be testifying that most of our fishermen support the 500 pot limit, but not the cap of 10,000. There's a link there to my comments that were submitted. And in February, that's the big meeting for Area M, and that's at the Denina Center, February 20th through 25th. And there's a link to kind of a spreadsheet of all the proposals. We addressed in the resolution only South Penn proposals. We didn't touch the subsistence or the sport or the North Penn or the Chignik, but those are all in that little spreadsheet. So there's a couple links there. If individuals want to submit comments, I hope that they do. I've got that information ready to go to teachers for use by students and the tribes. It looks like we've fulfilled our obligation on the Captain Cook hotel rooms. Yay, I don't have to pay for empty hotel rooms. But there are still rooms available under that discount, which is a real good price for a room. So please use that. That link is here again in the report. The council, I didn't put too much in there. There's a couple interesting things, not too much at the February meeting, which is in Seattle. There's a special SSC presentation, and there's also before that a groundfish stock prioritization before the council meeting. There's a couple of land issues. We're moving closer on the slow state process to get our municipal lands in a, locked up, and expect a request on a the platting board may have to meet in February to look at a proposal that would be needed for Nelson Lagoon power upgrade. On the second page of my report, I did put a pie chart of where our fish tax is coming from as far as species, and I kind of noted this in the background information to the resolution, but if you put all the salmon together, that comes to about 32% of our fish tax, where pollock is only 31. If you look at miscellaneous, that one has really grown, black cod also, and halibut. So things are kind of changing, and I find that due to changes in processor activity. So kind of interesting. I'll be looking at the fish tax more and more as I try to help Annie with a projection. We don't do very good with forecasting, but all we got is to look at a past to see where we might go in the future. And then there's meetings that are upcoming listed. And I can entertain any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ernie. Questions for Ernie?
Paul? Ernie, I'm looking at, I guess it's not a pie graph, it's a fish pie graph. We call it fish pie.
Sure.
But it doesn't say, I guess he said it's by dollar amount. It's not by volume, is it? It's by dollar amount?
Correct. This is by the amount of fish tax. And so, interestingly, the pollock amount of fish over the dock has gone down, but the price was pretty high last year. So volume times price is what we get for fish tax. Yeah, a Peru.
And then rock. And then what was that Captain Beta rate again? I couldn't find it real quick. Captain Cook hotel room rate.
What's the rate? 159. 159. It's
okay.
On the front page of my report.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you. That's all.
Thanks.
Other questions? Okay. That was good. We had one more report from Jackie, but as you know, Jackie is out today, so we'll give her twice as much time as the next. That's it for the report, so we are down to public comments. Are there any at this time? Hearing none. Next meeting date is February 9th at our normal time. Workshop at 1, meeting at 3, and assembly member comments.
This is Chris here. I just wanted to thank our administrative staff. I didn't mean any puns on Charlotte there. I appreciate everything that our administrative people are doing there in Anchorage, and look forward to seeing what's going to happen in this new year. So thank you very much.
You bet. Other comments? Paul? I have a February calendar in front of me. And I just have some quick questions. And I know that Clerk mentioned that Annie, he was talking about March 1st for some kind of a meeting if we're in Anchorage during the Swampsea meeting, perhaps.
She's waiting on your calendar.
But I got a nice calendar from Dryden. But anyway, that was one question about March 1st. And then we have on March, I'm on the wrong month here. But anyway, moving. I'm back on February. Sorry, I jumped ahead. 28 days only in February. That's what screwed me up, I guess. Okay. When was our workshop on our planning session in Anchorage? What days were those?
Just one day.
Which February 17th. Strategic planning?
Is that
strategic planning? Yes.
What day? February 17th. Okay, and we'll be in Anchorage. And so if you look at the time between the Board of Fish meeting, what's the borough's policy on assembly members at the Board of Fish? I guess that was one question, additional question I had.
Well, it's always been, as far as I know, if you're an assembly member and you want to go to the Board of Fish meeting, we've never said no.
Okay, we'll just try to bring it up, that's all.
Yeah.
And then I'm just encouraging everybody to go to the Swampsy meeting on 2nd and 3rd of March, which is good. And the borough did make a mariculture, you know, they're part of a big mariculture grant. They did make a mariculture hire, but I don't think it's been officially, there's no contract yet with the person, but well-qualified person, so that's something new, too. And that'll be public pretty soon. I think they're shooting for the 1st of February to have the contract. And with it. But should we, I guess the only question that isn't answered is on March 1st, are we planning a meeting? And of course, people are making their schedules. Be nice to know sooner than later if we're going to do that.
Do what?
Have a meeting on March 1st.
I don't know. Annie, you have any meetings for March 1st?
No, not at this point. I think we were just thinking if there was a special meeting, but I don't have one planned right now. So the March 9th meeting, I think that's the second Thursday, we're planning on being in King Cove.
Okay. It may be, Mr. Mayor, maybe worth shifting a regular meeting to the 1st. If everybody, and it kind of encourages people for Swampsy, too, that's all. Something to think about. We got until February to mull it over, I suppose.
Well, we're trying to do what you guys wanted to do, get to the communities, and it's really hard because sometimes it's weather, then it's a whole bunch of meetings, so this was the next opportunity to get over to.
That's in March.
In March to go to King Cove.
Yeah, that's not the greatest. I'm sorry, anyway, I'm thinking too far ahead, but I remember right, March is a in with the line, though, with the lamb thing. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments, Emily?
Mayor, go ahead.
Wait, well, I think I heard Daly in there, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I was here. I had a question for Ernie on the meeting to consider a plat subdivision by, what is CRW in Nelson Lagoon? For the Nelson Lagoon power upgrade. What is
so CRW did the survey work. There's another company, I'd have to pull it up on my email, that was working there, some sort of power upgrade for the Nelson Lagoon community. I couldn't tell you much more than that. I have some more information in my email, but there's more information coming. I'm assuming the community knows about it. That's all I could tell you.
Okay, thank you for that anyway.
Okay.
And then there was somebody else. Brenda?
Yes, this is Brenda. I just would like to thank the Assembly and you, Alvin, for allowing me the honor of going down to sit in on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. That was a really awesome experience. And I'm really proud of all the people that work for us and make sure that we have what we need for our communities. And to talk to some of those people and find out some of the background, the history, and how hard they have to work was really, really eye-opening. So thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
Okay. Was there another? Did somebody else have a comment?
Yes. There was like three or four. Warren here got a comment. Just want to kind of remind people before our strategic planning that I know that with these big tides and summer storms we had, happen here that if you have pictures of damage and stuff, to please bring them out so everybody could see them, and we'll all be able to get a real clear picture of what the needs are for each community, and we could collaborate and all that, and come up with like a plan for disaster relief or something, and because just like you say that we're gonna have those tides again next week, so. And, I want to thank everybody again for being able to go to Pasadena, too, for that road to Cold Bay issue. And it's, man, that's a long, drawn-out process, but it's something we got to do, I guess. But anyway, that's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Art. Other comments? Okay. So,
again, we're into the new year, so happy new year to everyone. We will keep on marching down the line here and get things done. So with that, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion.
Okay. Thank you. See everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.